I don't know if you heard this past week, but the University of Central Florida had a gathering of about 5,000 college students. About 1,600 kids made decisions for Christ. Isn't that cool? And then on Wednesday, in Southeastern University in Florida there, feels like I need to be in Florida, you know. Southeastern, some of you might have saw this with SEU there, is they had a conference, and on Wednesday, after Jenny Allen was the gal, after she was sharing, she called for these kids to just have an open time of confession of their sin, just to stand up and shout it out, these sins, confess it before the Lord. And all of a sudden, there was this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Kids are getting up, they're confessing their sins just vocally out loud, and it leads into this student-led time of worship. It lasted until 10:30 p.m. when they finished the church that they were at, because the campus wasn't big enough. The church they were at said, we got to figure out something else. And so they decided to move it to the campus. And there on the campus, a little 800, you know, seat auditorium, the students began to lead in worship, the lead in aspects of sharing and testimonies and verses. And that was Wednesday night, and it hasn't stopped. Yeah, isn't that cool? And as I'm looking at all this stuff, we couldn't help but be reminded in 2023 what happened at Asbury College and those things. And so they've been in connection. But what I see is this. I see that God is using Gen Z in a radical way. And he is moving upon young people's hearts to say, you know what, I'm tired of all the things out there that are fake and false and just lead astray. I'm tired of all the noise. I'm tired of all the things. I want to come back to something solid. I want my life to be built upon it. I just want Jesus, and I want to serve God, worship him, and love him. And as I'm thinking about all these things that are happening, it starts to stir within my heart, not only a time in my life back then when the Lord started speaking to my heart and some really fresh things, but all of a sudden this simple craving for the Lord, it comes back, and I want to remind you of some things here in Isaiah chapter 31. One, that God's not done with you. Two, that as you wait upon the Lord, he will renew your strength. And three, that as God leads your life, he wants to speak to you clearly and direct your steps. And he looks for you to cooperate with him. So let's start with a word of prayer, and we'll dive into this in Isaiah. Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit in our life. Thank you, Lord, that we can come into a place like this, and we can, in a sense, just bow and recognize you're the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That, God, you are so good to us, so gracious to us. Lord, you give us heaven when we deserve hell. You give us grace when we deserve judgment and mercy. And Lord, who is like you? And as we see you do certain things around our country and in our lives, Lord, may we pause to give thanks to you, to say, Lord, here is my heart in complete surrender. Do what you want in me and through me for the glory of your name, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Isaiah chapter 30, we're going to pick it up in verse 18. I want you to see this. I was reading this past week, and it just kind of hit me. Therefore, the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you. Do you realize for a moment that God is waiting on you? We sometimes think, I mean, he's God. He's going to do whatever he wants to do, that he's just in control and he's doing all these things and I'm just this little peon in the midst of it all. And yeah, that is true. But there are certain aspects, when you think about it, that God is waiting for you and me to wait upon him so that he could then pour out his grace in your life. When was the last time you took time out to just say, God, I want to wait on you? And the wait is not like sitting in there waiting, twiddling your fingers, when's the time up? Okay, now I go. Waiting means in the Bible, it means to wait expectantly, to wait anticipating, to wait hopefully, because you know God's character, you know his heart, and you are there to say, Lord, it's not even about the issue that I'm facing, it's about me and you, and I'm waiting upon you for whatever you have for me. It may be wisdom, it may be instruction, it may simply be that I need to catch a glimpse of the glory of my God once again, because I've been so focused on all these things out here that I've kind of put it on the back shelf that this is the most important thing in life. Think about that again. Therefore, the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you. And grace is unmerited favor. Grace is God extending that favor to say, I'm waiting to pour it out on you, and I'm waiting for you to get to a place where you say, Lord, here I am. Are you waiting on God's grace? And therefore, he says, he will be exalted that he may have mercy on you. You see, when God is merciful to you, and mercy is not getting what I deserve, when God is merciful to you, it's an exaltation of the glory of God. It's an elevation of who he is and what he can do in any life. And you may look at your life and go, man, I've destroyed my life, or man, these things have happened. Listen, it's the mercy of God that triumphs over judgment, that says, hey, look at who I am, and stop looking at what others are doing and maybe what you feel you deserve. He says this, for the Lord is a God of justice, and that is true. He will deal with sin justly, but blessed are all those who what? Wait for him. As you wait on the Lord, yes, he's going to deal with all those issues justly, righteously, in fairness. But he's also going to, in your heart, start rest and joy and peace and the blessings. Blessed means, oh, how happy are those who wait for him. You see, it's not a torture. It's not a torment in my heart to say, God, I just want to wait upon you and just say, Lord, here I am. It's actually one of the best places you can be in life. I have found it personally in my own life that as I'm waiting on the Lord, that he often begins to reveal his nature to me, his nurture in my life. I found in my heart that in those times of waiting on the Lord, that is where peace comes flooding in. Everything we want, in a sense, in life, in dealing with all the problems and all the issues, if we would stop for a moment, we would realize that it's found there in the presence of God. I need wisdom, Lord, for this day and everything that's taking place. Just give it to me on a download as I run this direction. No, wait upon the Lord. Lord, I need a peace because of all the family issues going on, and I don't know what to do, and we run frantically back and forth, and God says, just settle down and sit and wait upon me, and you'll be blessed. And I can tell you this honestly, in all the times of waiting on the Lord, I have never, ever once gone away disappointed. You would think that would birth something within my heart to say, let me do this more and more. But welcome to the sin nature, right? Welcome to that heart and that flesh that says, I can handle this myself. But listen, I would tell you the word of the Lord to you, maybe this morning, continue to wait upon him. Continue to wait upon him. Look at verse 19. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. Maybe you're in a place right now where there's just been a lot of tears. And as you're waiting upon the Lord reminds you that you are his people and he is a gracious God, that he loves you so much. He will be very gracious to you at the sound of your cry. Sometimes you can feel like God's not listening to my prayers. Sometimes you can go through times where you feel like, you know, it's just bouncing off the wall. What's going on? Because you're not seeing any progress in what you're facing. Maybe it's not even turning out the way that you wanted it to be. But here's what I found also. As I continue to pray about things, yes, there is that initial thing, Lord, that is just kind of breaking me. I don't know what to do. And as I continue to pray about it, I find God doing a deeper work, deeper in the heart, where it no longer becomes, Lord, fix this and do this. It's, Lord, fix this and do what you want. And I wonder if times God waits to answer the cry of our heart because he's after the child at heart. He's after the one inside the heart that would say, yes, Lord, whatever you want, that I will do. and I surrender into your hands. And when he hears it, he will answer you. The Lord is not distant. The Lord is not aloof to your cries. The Lord is very near. In verse 20, and though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore. But your eyes shall see your teachers, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. For a moment, look at verse 20. I want you to understand this. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. Sometimes we have a tendency to think anything that bad happens in my life is definitely the enemy, or it's definitely these things. And there are times when the Lord may allow a point of suffering or allow an affliction in your life, and it's not to destroy you, it's to keep you humble before him. And Paul said, I had a thorn in my flesh, right? And I prayed 3 times, God, remove this thorn. And this messenger of Satan, and the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you because in your weakness, my power is made known. And Paul, in a sense, says, well, then that's what I'm going to boast about. I'm weak, he's strong. And I wonder if you're in a place right now where you're saying, man, I'm eating this bread of affliction. I'm sucking down this water of suffering. And you haven't realized that maybe it is the hand of the Lord. Maybe it's chastening in your life. But oh, he's not an author of evil and he's not an author of sin. We know that. But is God using the sufferings you're facing to get your attention? And to say, you know what, Lord, in the midst of those things, God is not distant. Notice what he says, yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore. And when you're going through those trials, when you're going through those sufferings, when you're going through those issues, you can maybe feel like God is distant. And God says, no. I put people in your life to encourage you and to comfort you and to point you back to the word and to lift you up and to help you in going forward. And that's what he says. Listen, your teachers are not hidden away in a corner. They're not over here that you've got to scamper over and do these things. He says this very clearly. Ultimately, the Holy Spirit is the teachers, but your eyes shall see your teachers. Lord, open my eyes to see, and your ears shall hear a word behind you, as if the Holy Spirit is saying, listen, this is the way. Walk in it. You don't have to run, but let's walk. It can't be God telling me that I have to go through this valley of the shadow of death. Yes, it can be, because he's a good shepherd. It can't be the Lord saying, this is the affliction I have to keep you humble and keep you looking to me. Yes, because he knows the pride of your own heart, or he knows the situation that you're facing. But to hear that word from God, even though it's not something I may want to hear, it definitely is from him when he says, this is the way, walk in it. And as you take those steps one at a time, walking that path, here's what's happening in your life. Godly character is being produced in you. Brokenness is being found in you. Blessings start flowing out of you. And I'll tell you what, the deepest praise of your heart, the deepest time in your life with God, is usually in those crushing moments when there is absolutely nothing left. And you say, God, you're enough. Is the Lord enough? In your own life, is the Lord enough, as it was mentioned before, for you to say, Lord, you're my sufficiency, and you're my help, and you're my hope. Even matter if things never change, it's no longer about whether things change or not. It's just as long as I've got you, Lord, and then I'm good. If today's my last day, I'm good. If you extend it longer, then praise be to your name. this is the way, walk in it. And he says, whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left, God is directing your steps. We know Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Right? I mean, many of us have memorized that. But oftentimes in discovering, Lord, okay, I'm in the midst of this affliction and I don't know what to do. I'm in the midst of this suffering. I don't know what's next. I'm just needing your wisdom. What does God do? He just says, this is the way. We're going to walk in it. And guess what? You're going to hear this point of, okay, now turn left. Okay, I'll turn left. Wow, there's another door. Now turn right. All right, there's another door. And in discovering God's will for your life, it's often that way. God is not going to lay out, okay, here's the plan. You're going to go here, do this, do these things, take a right, take a left, and when you come around the bend and cross the river, there you're going to find your rainbow with a pot of gold. He simply says to you, this is what we're doing. I'm with you. And when you go right, because God's leading you to go right, and all of a sudden things start to fall apart more, what happens? We start saying, well, I made a wrong turn. I did something wrong. I'm not hearing right. And the Lord says, no, if I'm directing your life, your right is the right. And when I say go left, you go left. You see, at some point, we come to this realization, it's not about the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. It's about, Lord, I know you're with me, directing every step I take. And if you're with me, directing those things, and when you say turn right, I'll turn right, and turn left, I'll turn left, I know this is the way you have for me. And I want to be fully open for that. And then check out what happens in verse 22. As a result of God leading your life, as a result of the Lord showing you his voice and his promise to you and his direction for you and taking you through all those afflictions and all those adversities, you will also defile the covering of your images of silver and the ornaments of your molded images of gold. You will throw them away as an unclean thing, and you will say to them, get away. What's he talking about? When God starts moving in your life, when God starts directing your steps, when you are at a place of whatever is in front of me, Lord, I'm willing to go through it. I am surrendered to you. Guess what happens? You then start saying, I don't need these idols. I don't need these things in my life. I don't need that stuff that's getting in the way of my fellowship with you, God. I'm telling these things. I'm going to say to these things, get away. I'm done. It's over. And that's the beauty of what God does in any revival in your own life. Here's what I've seen about revival. It starts with a brokenness. It starts with an openness of seeing God of who he is. It starts with an abandonment to say, Lord, your will be done, not mine. It starts with a revelation of who God is in glory that causes you, in a sense, to come undone. And it leads you through anything and everything. Those things don't matter anymore. It's because I've got Jesus. And he's speaking to my heart and he's directing my steps. And as a result, that is so sweet. It is the most beautiful thing on the face of the earth, your relationship with God and the intimacy you can cultivate with God, that anything that comes in the way, any idols you may have, the Holy Spirit starts saying this, you don't need that anymore. All it is destroying your life. It's getting in the way of this relationship. It's time to just cut it off. It's time to just let those things go. And going back to that aspect, as we think about with what was happening there at SEU, I think that really was this call. It was this call, college students, to take the idols and toss them away. Because he's worthy of it. The getaway. And I don't know about you, but as I look at these things, there's times when God just says, all right, let's just go through an inventory. Is there anything in the way of our relationship? And that's what I do. I go through that inventory. Lord, is there anything in the way? And there's times when the Lord says, hey, there's this, toss it to the side. Or this, take a break from it. You know, I the other day I was looking at things and just going, you know what? I'm going to take a social media fast. I'm tired of all the stuff out there. I don't really feel I need to keep up with anything. In fact, there's a point of me that honestly, if I was to be open with you as a pastor, as a friend, is that if I didn't have to know what was going on in the world, I would probably get rid of all communication, all smartphones, and I would just go back to a rotary phone. Have a quarter in my pocket. You remember those days? Collect, call, mom, come pick me up. That's how life worked. But this is the world we live in, and yet now you have a challenge. Now you have something to take at times and present it before the Lord and say, God, I am not ruler of social media. I am not ruler over these things. You are. Direct my steps, because this stupid little phone can be such a distraction and can keep me from the priority of what's going to bless me more, you and me. And I'm not saying, I'm not playing the Holy Spirit here, but I'm just sharing with you from my walk that what I've seen is in those times, oh man, does the Lord come flooding in? Does the Lord reveal himself? And the world keeps spinning. It goes on out of control. And I'm just like, in one sense, que sera, sera, because my God's always in charge, and let the next fire burn and it'll burn itself out and light another one. But I'm at peace, resting in the Lord. You still want to be informed, but I'm saying don't let the information and the chaos of this world rob you of the priority of your time with God and blessed fellowship with Jesus Christ. Just a word of wisdom and warning for you. But there are times when we want to throw those things away because they're almost unclean in our life. And we'll say to them, get away. And verse 23, then he will give you the rain for your seed with which you sow the ground, and bread of the increase of the earth. It will be fat and plentiful. You see that? When we get rid of the idols, God says, all right, what you've cultivated, I can now water. Hosea says, break up the fallow ground of your hearts, and then I will come and rain righteousness on you. There is a part that you and I play in it, that I'm willing to say, God, I've got dirt clods. I've got caliche. I've got stuff in the way. There's rocks and weeds. And you just come right in and just plow it up. And you plow it up. And now you're saying, Lord, okay, my heart's now in the right place. Would you pour out your rains, your Holy Spirit? I mean, think about it. In an agricultural society, you could do everything but make it rain. Right, you go out there and go, I got this, I'm plowing, and I've got this, we're doing, and we're planting the seeds, but at the end of the day, you can't make it rain. Only God could do that. But the Lord's promise to them was this, is that, listen, you've done the sowing, the seed is there. When the things are out of the way, now the refreshing rain of the Lord can fall. And I find my heart saying, yes, I want that bread of increase. I want that fat and plentiful. And in that day, your cattle will feed in large pastures. And again, this is the agricultural picture of just a point of blessings that the Lord is pouring out because the heart is in the right place. Likewise, the oxen and the young donkeys that work the ground will eat curd fodder, which has been winnowed with the shovel and the fan. And there will be on every high mountain and on every high hill, rivers and streams of water in the day of the great slaughter when the towers fall. Boy, we have some towers that need to fall in our life. Moreover, the light of the moon will be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun will be sevenfold as the light of 7 days in the day that the Lord binds up the bruise of his people and heals the stroke of their wound. I mean, it just all points to this reality that as we are cultivating that relationship with the Lord, then he is capable of just pouring out his Spirit, of restoring the years the locust has eaten, of taking you through the situations that seem so overwhelming, of providing for the daily needs, of just reminding you that his light is even greater. And all of a sudden you go, I'm in the best place possible, even though the world is chaotic around me. I'm in this place where it all started with, again, verse 18. I'll wait upon you, Lord, as you're waiting for me. And I will allow you to take me through whatever it is that you have for me today or this week, as long as you're still speaking to me. As long as I'm hearing your voice and you're saying, this is the way, walk in it. I will let you direct my steps because I know you're full of grace, I know you're full of mercy, and I know in the end you will be glorified in my life. I don't want any idols. I don't want anything in the way. I'm tired of going around those circus carousels. And Lord, I'm ready to move forward into a place where you can freely bless my life, use my life. But Lord, seriously, at the end of the day, it's not about what I get from your hand. It's about seeing your face. And that, my friend, is the best place to be. The pinnacle of prayer, the pinnacle of your relationship with God is not about what God can do for you. It's what he's already done for you, and you simply respond, saying, Lord, what can I do for you? Here's my life. And if today is a moment of praise, then I'll praise you. But if today is an act of service, then I'll serve you. If it's a time of just waiting upon you, then help my heart to be still and know that you are God and that you will be exalted in my life. Let's pray.